The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Ashton Larkin, chef and mindful eating coach, is here with me now. And you usually have a bit easier with Kieran. I'm fussy and I set you a bit of a challenge because I'm a vegan.
Yes, you did. And it was a challenge. And
did you find it hard?
I did find it hard. And you know what? It's amazing because it pushed me out of my comfort zone this week. Like, okay, my big thing, I suppose, is all flavour. Like, it's flavour driven first. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, three years I think we've been doing this a lot. And, like, you know, I'm always talking to Kieran about, let's eat more plants. Let's eat 30 plants a week. And I suppose my way of eating is this flexitarian model. Mm. It's all very wordy, isn't it? But, you know, it's that eat more plants. And then it's discernment when it comes to things like dairy and meat. So to kind of go to that place of feeling more restricted as a cook was very, very different. And like what I actually found was when I kind of set myself, you set the challenge this week and I kind of was going through it, was it's a hell of a lot easier than it used to be a couple of years ago in terms 100%. Of what you can get in the supermarket.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really kind of seen that transition as much until this week, which is really interesting. It's good.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I went vegan first probably about 7 years ago. I was kind of forced into it because my then girlfriend, soon to be wife, went and basically said, you have to do this.
Okay.
So I said, right, I'll do it 2 weeks for Christmas or New Year's, New Year's resolution, and then I can say, but I gave it a go and I'll go back to eating
back
whatever
to
I like. Exactly. And then never really turned around. But like that, and we'll probably get into talking about the healthy vegan and the not healthy vegan, because all the substitutes and the, you know, the sausages and burgers and all that definitely weren't as available, or substitute butter and as you've substitute cream in here as well in the studio. Like, that just was not around then, and it's completely changed. And if you went out, you'd be lucky to get a salad in a restaurant. But some places just didn't do it, and now it's totally changed.
It has changed. And, like, you know, the stretch, you know, if you are a meat eater, like, the stretch to vegetarian can be challenging enough, I think. But you always have the fallback of the halloumi and the dairy, you know, and you're kind of going to have the eggs. And, like, once you kind of have those, sure, it's very easy and enjoyable. But when you become more restrictive and then you've got to cut out the other things, that's when it definitely becomes more challenging.
Yeah, and I was like, I was full on carnivore. I wasn't just like a little bit. I hated vegetables when I was a kid. I was like, I'd ate sweet corn and nothing. So this is, it's been a big change for me. And I'd love one of the, I probably won't ever do it, but I'd love to go back to just trying to cook with meat, because I think having to get out of that comfort zone that you're talking about actually makes you a better cook. I'm 100 times a better cook than I used to be.
Yeah.
So what do we try first? What are we talking
about? Yeah, we've got a couple of different dishes. So let's see. Where do your eyes take you first?
My eyes are taking me to the colour. Is it soup?
That is soup. So this is a really beautiful tomato and chickpea soup.
Okay.
Incredibly easy. And I think one of the things, particularly with vegan cookery, is like I had to get my head around being slightly more organized. Having my fridge stocked clever, having my pantry stocked clever, you know, because I wanted to experiment, I wanted to be creative, do a couple of different recipes, but I couldn't just reach for the stock. I couldn't just reach for butter, couldn't just reach for cream, couldn't just reach for cheese. So it was like, okay, how do we build those layers of flavor? So the soup is really, really lovely. It started out with oil in the pan, I actually left out the onion because I was trying to, like, I was trying not to overload the recipes with tons of ingredients, because that's where my brain naturally went to. And I was like, no, let's scale this back. Let's keep it simple. So it's garlic, one of those big bulbs of garlic, really thinly sliced, slow cooked in the oil. Rosemary went in there.
Okay. Because I was thinking, when I think soup, tomato soup in particular, I just think basil. Yeah. I don't think anything else. Yeah. So that's interesting.
Rosemary. Really, really lovely. And then into that, I put garlic powder, cumin and smoked paprika.
Cumin.
Yeah.
Interesting. I can't actually taste the cumin. I'm tasting it now and it is gorgeous.
It's really lovely.
But I can't
it?
Pick up the cumin.
And you know what? Cumin is one of those really mild, kind of earthy, warming spices. And when you mix it with the smoked paprika, it just, what it does, it kind of almost creates that flavour that's rounded in your mouth. That's really lovely, but not overpowering. You could absolutely add chili to that, and the natural kind of thing would be, you know, for that like excitement, the dopamine kind of kick, or add the chili in there. But sometimes tomatoes don't need chili, you know. They can be really, really lovely. So then there was one jar of passata. I have a really, really nice natural vegetable stock that went in there. So equal quantities, 400 mils of both. And then tin of chickpeas, drained, rinsed, and then the chickpeas go in. So it's lovely. It's kind of that combination of, it's hearty and filling because you've got the lentils. And do you find that you lean a lot towards legumes, lentils, chickpeas, all of that kind of stuff to bulk
completely
out and keep it filling?
Completely. And like, what I like about this one in particular is the kind of bit of chunk that comes with it as well. Because, you know, you can't just get used to, oh, it's another kind of veg soup, here we go again.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But when you, I suppose the challenge that I find with it, when you're relying on them for your protein. But I suppose if you're eating meat, you kind of rely on chicken a lot. It's cooking them in different ways, and this is definitely a different way to do it.
Yeah, and what would have been lovely there is to take that spice mix, the cumin, the smoked paprika, the garlic powder, put it on the chickpeas on a tray and roast them off in the oven for 10
nice
minutes.
Nice and crispy.
Yeah, so it's almost like that crouton effect on top. But again, like, you're always trying to get in. I presume, like, you're watching your protein. You're kind of trying to keep an eye on the protein all the time. How do you guarantee you're getting in your protein?
Oh, well, it's a bit of a guessing game sometimes because it's a lot. It's easier if you, like you say, you can just put chicken or whatever into something. Tofu is kind of an easy way. It took me a long time to learn how to cook it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't want to try it, I think, because it can taste a bit rubbery and not very nice.
It's the texture, isn't it?
The texture, slice it really thinly, break it up really small and, you know, bake it in a bit of soy sauce and garlic or something, is delish. But beans, legumes, that kind of stuff, but it's hard. It is. Yeah. It's not as easy. Even if you're having, say, your porridge with a bit of oat milk, not as much protein as cow's milk or even soy milk in it. So you do have to stay on top of it.
It's the dairy one, I think, isn't it? Because the dairy is just so convenient. It's so easy to reach for. And then you've got to find the alternative. And also those alternatives that are not so heavily processed. You know, you do want to kind of try and find an organic one or one that's just your soy beans and water, you know, and it's just, there's nothing else kind of in it, you know. I'll move you on to your next dish. I'm actually going to guide you down this way. So this is really lovely. It's basically rice, caramelized onions and toasted pine nuts. So I think this is just such a kind of a quick, handy one. So if you'd leftover rice, what we did was just cooked the rice, but rather than just cooking the plain rice, into the rice as it cooked with the water, I put strips of orange, cardamom pods and bay leaves. So it's trying to build in those layers of kind of slightly fresh, slightly interesting flavours into the rice. And then when it came to the onions, two onions, olive oil, low and slow. They were on for about an hour.
No way.
Just cooking, caramelising until you get that deep, deep depth of brown flavour into them.
And did you slice them kind of long strips?
Yeah.
Semicircles,
yeah. And just low and slow, parchment paper over at the start, and then leave them off for about 45 minutes. And then just toast off some pine nuts and sprinkle some pine nuts on top. And it's funny, if I was to make that, because this is like one of my kind of favourite dinners that I love, is just a kind of a, if there's leftover rice, this is what I will do.
This is where it goes.
But what I will put on top is goat's cheese.
Oh,
and I love a little bit of goat cheese on top. But what I spotted in the supermarket was, you know, the boursin, that French, they've started to do a plant-based. It's really good.
It's delish.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best I've tried because I tried a couple of the cream cheeses and they're varying in texture. Some of them are kind of coconutty a little bit, you know.
I don't like the coconutty, and coconut gets used a lot as a base for vegan stuff.
It?
And I'm not into it.
No, not great. No, it's not. So that's why that boursin is like, it's a real epic little product. Mm. It's really, really nice. I really liked that one. So I just think that's a really quick one. And again, it's that building in those kind of layers of flavour because, you know, I think the same as everything, when you're using so many kind of whole foods, so many legumes, you do need. The seasoning is really important, 100%. But also building the layers of flavour. Mushrooms, which I actually haven't cooked for us today, but mushrooms are one of the big wins, aren't they?
You should see some of the stuff. You know these Instagram videos of these guys who are like, I can make a mushroom taste like a steak. And some of the stuff they do with different kind of mushrooms is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure anybody who does like a steak will say, that is never going to be a steak. It's nothing like it. But they do absolutely crazy stuff with, is it oyster mushrooms in particular?
Oyster mushrooms, yeah. You've got your king oyster mushrooms. You've got your shiitake, maiake. Like, there's loads of really cool things. And I suppose with those bigger ones, because they lend themselves to having, you know, bigger volume, bigger texture, you can slice them up, thinly slice them up. I think, and like I would talk a lot about umami, which is that depth of savoury flavour, and mushrooms have it in bucket loads. And that's why I suppose so often they're kind of used as a meat replacer. But if you shred them up, they come with a lot of water. So sprinkle them with salt, high heat, cook them really quickly, get all that liquid out of them. And then like you can even dredge some of them in flour or a tiny little batter, deep fry them and do them like almost like a pulled pork effect in a taco or something like that. And they're really lovely. And again, they take the flavours of a salsa, a guacamole, a creamy, you know, an alternative to a sour cream really, really nicely. So mushrooms are one of the biggest wins, actually.
Yeah,
I think you're really speaking
my language now.
Sorry,
the mushrooms or the onions in this dish, did you pan them? Did you bake them?
Yeah,
pan them, but like for an hour, just in a bit of oil.
And take an hour. Leave them low and slow, stir them away, keep them moving. And yeah, like you just, it brings out the sweetness, which is really lovely.
Yeah,
you know,
gorgeous.
And that's what you want. So
they're
it's
nice.
A really nice one.
And toasted pine nuts are just chef's kiss.
They're gorgeous, aren't they?
Right, third dish.
This is beautiful. Cauliflower puree, minted grains, and roast baby beets.
Now, pure, when you say cauliflower puree, because this looks like mashed potato.
Yes.
So, like, did you cook it, then blitz it? How did you go about it?
You boil the cauliflower first, take it out, drain it, and then, so if I was doing a normal cauliflower puree for myself, I would do exactly that, drain it out, put it in the food processor, and then into that I would put lashings of butter, cream, and parmesan cheese.
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff. So then I had to go, okay, what are we going to do here instead? So I use the Elm Lee plant-based cream, which is like, it's really good. Like,
whips amazingly well.
Isn't it brilliant?
Yeah, because again, that's one of the things that's really improved in the last few years, where you used to get this vegan cream and it was like, what is this mush on my plate? But this one actually whips like proper cream.
Yeah, I really, really like that. And the Dairy Gold plant-based butter, really nice.
Mm.
Like, I think it's probably the saltiness, but you almost don't feel like you're not eating butter with it. I mean, because I'm a bit of a butter fiend, so I would happily replace that, which I was surprised myself at, if I'm honest. You know, you kind of went, oh, okay, that's not bad at all. So I used both of those. So I suppose bringing in that bit of discernment. It was about finding the best kind of highest quality I could find and popping it in. And then instead of cheese, I'm sure you know, but like nutritional yeast.
Mm.
God, it's a great win.
Yeah, which is one of those things that when I first had to look at it, and people are probably going, what in the name of that? Is it like yeast you put in your bread?
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to find it down that awful aisle that most people probably don't go down with all the free from stuff, all that sort of stuff. But it looks kind of like, how would you even describe it? It's sort of like little flakes.
Yeah, little yellowy flakes. And it's really funny. I cooked for somebody recently and I just put a little bit into something that I was making. I was kind of doing like a pesto pasta, actually.
Mm.
And I put a little bit in and it was to build the umami and that kind of dip, the savouriness. And the same person tasted it and immediately he went, there's nutritional yeast in there.
No way.
How do you know that? And he was like, because I was vegan for a couple of years and I bloody hate the stuff now. I was like, oh my God, okay, now I get it. So it was, because I don't determine it as its own flavour when I cook with it, but I just thought it was interesting that he could. But I will use it to, like, for me, for cooking, if I'm trying to reduce the saturated fat in something and I want to reduce the amount of cheese in something, I will bolster it with a little bit of nutritional yeast because it brings out that cheesy flavour.
Yeah.
So the cauliflower puree is really nice. And if you're doing a mash, like a potato mash, exact same kind of ingredients going in. And then I cooked off some quinoa. So again, I was conscious of that kind of protein count.
Yeah.
So cooked off some quinoa, steamed that off, and then chopped in some lovely mint into that. And then the fire roast little beets on top.
Mm.
So it's just that kind of different combination of salad slash kind of main course, but again, like, kind of just lots of flavour. Really nice and really interesting.
It's delicious. The quinoa gives it that nice little bit of crunch as well, because that's one thing, like, I find with cooking vegan, a lot of it turns out like mush.
Yeah.
As you're into your curry or, you know, whatever it is, or something big in a pot, and it's kind of like, oh great, another load
everything
of mushy vegetables.
Everything is saucy
vegetables.
And kind of soupy.
Yeah, which is fine in the winter when you're wanting, but in the summer and you want something different.
Something
that's
like
delicious
it.
Actually. That's really, really nice.
So my last dish that I'm going to pass you over here is...
Thank you.
And you know what? There was no amendments to this. This is just as is. This is my lovely sweet potato and spinach lentil dal. Which
this
I just
great.
Love. Mango chutney, crispy onions, and a papadam on the side. Like, just delicious.
You can't beat it. I love the just the satisfying crack.
Delicious.
Fantastic.
I love papadams. And like, if you look at the back of the bag, and they must be, but they claim they're about 37 calories each. That was kind of blows my mind for something.
I'll
so
take it.
Me too. For something so satisfying, you kind of go, and it is that, it's that satiety piece. So with this one, it was oil in the bottom of the pan. It was onions, garlic, the red lentils this time went in there. And then sweet potato went in. The coconut milk, the veggie stock, so really clean veggie stock, which was really, really nice. Let that simmer away for about 35, 40 minutes until all you're waiting for really is the sweet potato to be cooked.
Mm.
At the beginning, what you said went in was a beautiful green saffron spice mix.
Okay.
So they're an Irish company. They've been around for years, but they do really nice pre-mixed spices. Sometimes you can stock up the spice jar at home, you know, and you'll have the cumin and the coriander and the, you know, cardamom pods and all the things. But you know, and it's sometimes even just the stretch of measuring out 5 to 7 spices can just put people off actually cooking.
Yeah, sometimes I like to be told, this is what steak seasoning would be like, or this is, you know, 5 spice or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Someone do the work for me.
Yeah, so I think that's really nice. And it's just the spice mix. Or what you can do is like a jar of like a Massamam curry paste or a Thai red curry paste, something like that. Just obviously check to make sure it's okay. But the clean spices are safe because you know it's just the spices in the packet. And then cook those off. And then just at the end, before it's finished, drop in your spinach, let your spinach wilt down, and then, like, I just dal is not complete for me without a mango chutney. I just love the little bounce of the sweetness with the creamy. It's so nice. And the crispy onions. You've got your lovely papadum on top. So yeah, I just think it's such a win.
It's absolutely delish. And I kind of love, because I don't like when they make the dals very, very spicy. I'm not a spice fiend, even though like everything you tend to get out is a curry or a spice for a vegan. What's your opinion, I suppose, on it as a... Do you think it's a too restrictive for most people to do, veganism in general?
For me, it is. Yeah, I would find it very restrictive. And I think it's almost the being told, you can't have, you can't have, you can't have, you can't have. And it, that my brain struggles with that a little bit. Mm. Look, I think it's so much easier than it was before. But and for me, I suppose this is why I talk about that flexitarianism so much, because you're trying to get people to move towards more fibre, much more. And that's what I find I've done over the years. It's much more plant-based protein.
Mm.
I'm not a meat and two veg girls at all. Like the amount of meat I consume is quite low. And I love bulking up my food with lentils. Love chickpeas, love beans. Like I find those foods I've gravitated to so much more over the last 5-6 years. But sometimes it's lovely to have your piece of meat or your piece of fish. And, you know, it's like the eggs for me and the dairy, because they're so handy. It's the handiness. I think it's probably that part as well, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they happen to be delicious all the time as well when you cook them well. So that always helps. Well, look, you've got four absolutely delicious vegan recipes in there. I think possibly the dal actually. And the dal was the one that I was like, oh, I know how to make a dal, but that's really delicious.
Yeah, it's lovely. And it's getting that good spice mix, getting those couple of umami ingredients. So each time I think you build a dish, be it that it's vegan or not, just kind of think to yourself, where am I going to build in umami? And the umami comes from foods that are fermented, foods that are aged, something like tomatoes.
Mm.
Just sun blush your tomatoes. Sun blush tomato paste. Such a quick win to boost that flavour. Mushroom powder is another one. If you love that smoky flavour, that liquid smoke seasoning that you can buy now. So there's little tricks around things that we didn't have, I think, 5 or 10 years ago that we have now that makes it so much more accessible.
Brilliant. Ashley Larkin, listen, thanks again for coming in as always. And sorry to make you have to go so far out of your comfort zone to take care of me.
No, it served me well.
Thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.